Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
It's better. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday Drive. A beautiful Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And I think each of us has something green here at the table as we come to you from Franklin Tire here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here at Franklin Tire. It is the day after Selection Sunday, and we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament bracket, the good, some maybe not so good.
We used to do a lot of shows talking about all the fun everybody else was having dancing. Brian knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Not so long ago.
Bracket previews and bracket breakdowns are different when your team is a contender.
Yeah. How about when your team is the number one overall seed?
For the first time, we talked about making history, you know, and the pursuit of history for this Auburn program this year. Something they've done that no other Auburn team has ever done.
That
going,
is right.
Going into the NCAA tournament as the number one overall seed in the field.
Although there are some people, I mean, and we saw it on CBS yesterday where they put up their numbers, where they assigned numbers 1 through 68 to the teams that were, as the NCAA tournament committee had said, these are 1 through 68. And the South region, which Auburn is the number one seed in, has the lowest numbers in the top four seeds. So that would tell you that by that data, Auburn has a tougher draw than the other three number one seeds.
Well, I mean, Louisville right there at number eight is a great example.
Oh, they are the best example. Yeah. I was just talking with Dan here, and I saw that Louisville I haven't looked at this week's AP poll. Where is Auburn?
I've got it right in front of me. Auburn is fourth. Duke, Houston, Florida, Auburn.
All right, where is Louisville now?
Louisville is 10 AP poll.
All right, Louisville going into the ACC tournament, they were 13.
Yeah.
And there has never been a team ranked in the top 13 that wasn't at least a 5 seed. So Louisville is number 10.
Yes.
Louisville is number 10 in the AP poll, and they are the 8 seed in the South region.
Pretty ridiculous.
That is absolutely it's unprecedented to have a team like that. And the team they're playing, Creighton, is a very talented team as well. So, I mean, that's who Auburn would get if they win their first round game, which will be – and that opponent won't be determined until tomorrow night. Because Alabama State, the Hornets, take on St. Francis tomorrow late afternoon, early evening, to determine who will be playing Auburn on Thursday.
And Auburn plays at 12:50, right?
Is it 1:50?
1:50. Is it 1:50 Central? Okay,
yeah, 1:50 Central time. So an early game for Auburn on Thursday. But 14 SEC teams make the NCAA
Record.
Tournament.
Yep.
I really thought Texas was probably not going to make it. I think, like everybody else, was pretty stunned when North Carolina made the field.
I think West Virginia folks were the most stunned
by
that.
West Virginia folks are livid, and I think rightfully so.
Well, and what's puzzling about Louisville's seeding, on top of how they're viewed in the human polls, is also, like, if the committee is going to punish Louisville for the weakness of the ACC by dropping them to an 8 seed, again, how on earth does North Carolina make the tournament?
Like, yes.
How does Carolina?
There's
how is Carolina?
No explanation.
How's Carolina in at all if that's where Louisville deserves to be seated? I mean, those two things seem to be in direct conflict with each other. If you're gonna take Carolina because the ACC is better or their schedule is better than people think, and it's better than their win-loss record suggests, then how does Louisville not get more credit for what they did this season, yeah. which is considerably stronger than Carolina? And so again, yeah, not to bellyache, and the location aspect I think is immaterial because Auburn played in Birmingham a couple of years ago against a one seed, right? So you don't want to you don't want to complain too much about the fact that Louisville
I'm not
is
complaining
playing
as much about
the,
where
the location, yeah,
yeah, about the location as just that Louisville is an eight seed.
I think that's why they are an eight seed, and that's why they are there. I think
interesting. You know, I know some people have suggested on the Louisville side that
give them a break by putting them in Lexington, but drop them to an eight seed.
There are some heavy.
I think the committee does that, and you look who was on the committee, and I'm not surprised.
The most puzzling. I think most of the puzzling. I mean, aside from who made the tournament, the most puzzling aspects of the seeding probably are on the 8-9 line, and those seem to be like. I mean, the conspiracy theorist in me would say the committee wanted some really juicy round of 32 matchups involving the one seeds and the two seeds. And so here you are with North Carolina I'm sorry. Here you are with UConn potentially playing Florida.
Gonzaga
in the round of 32.
They're an eight. I mean,
you could have Auburn Louisville in Lexington. You know, Auburn facing a top 10 team in Lexington.
UConn Oklahoma versus Florida.
Right. You could have you could have Rick Pitino versus John Calipari.
Yep.
In the round of 32. Arkansas wins a game and they're facing St. John's most likely in the round of 32. So there's some interesting matchups that have been set up by this bracket. And yeah, Louisville is, I mean, among the head scratchers of this field is Louisville as an eight seed. And I want to say too, Creighton could win that game.
They could. Like
Creighton could win that game, and all this talk of Louisville and Auburn in the round of 32. Like, you could be facing and in the Zoom.
Creighton's pretty good too.
And in the
they are.
Yes, they are. And in the Zoom yesterday, Bruce mentioned, like, Creighton's got the kind of front court that could give Auburn trouble. And
yes,
that's not – like, you were thinking it was inevitable Auburn was going to face a physical, deep, talented group of big men.
And you don't want to get to the next weekend when people are already looking at the possible matchup with Texas A&M. Yale's another team, remember?
That's right, they are.
I mean, Yale is another team that we've talked about that not sure that's the kind of team that Auburn wants to be matched up with. But, hey, you get what you get. Auburn is the number one overall seed. Now they just need to see if they can just toss the last week and a half out.
What concerns?
The last four games.
You want to know a little bit about Creighton? They've beaten Purdue. They lost by just four to Texas A&M. They beat Notre Dame. They beat Kansas when Kansas was number one.
Mm-hmm.
They lost by just 8 points to Alabama. Beat Villanova.
They beat St. John's.
Beat St. John's.
Yeah. They're one of St. John's only losses. Yeah.
Yes.
Beat UConn.
Beat UConn a couple of times. Beat them in the ACC. Yeah. Beat them in the Big East tournament controversially
as
well.
The eight seeds, we're just talking about it. I mean, the four eight seeds are Louisville, UConn, Gonzaga, and Mississippi State.
You know, Evan Maya, the fella online who tracks a lot of this stuff, he has the eight seeds, like the average ranking of the eight seeds in his current rankings is higher than the average ranking of the five seeds.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's almost like they
flip-flop, five and eight.
Yeah, it's amazing how that worked. And I think, Clemson on the five line, I know, was it Clark Kellogg on the CBS show last night who said that he thinks Clemson's going to the national championship game? So, I mean, there are some people bullish on Clemson's draw in this thing. But, no, I think for the most part, you're absolutely right. And do you want to focusing on Auburn before we get into, the larger
bracket?
Yeah,
we'll do that, and we can talk about the SEC tournament and Auburn's mindset now going into the postseason. Brian here with us again. We're at Franklin Tire. Welcome back. You know, it's as we said, it's Happy St. Patrick's Day. Good day on the first day back for students from spring break, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're welcome back from spring break to the Auburn students. And you know, as we're feeling like spring here today,
top of the afternoon.
A lot of reasons to feel like spring. The weather's gorgeous, and the pollen is out. Yeah. Brian, how are you doing, man?
I've been taking my medicine.
Brian has had some problems with man. I didn't realize it until a couple of days ago when I came out and my car's yellow again.
Yeah.
It's like, here we go. Get ready for that. But, I mean –
Well, at the baseball game Sunday, my computer was turning green and yellow.
I believe it. Brian, you almost got one Saturday, didn't you? or was it Friday? Friday. You almost got one of their guys, right-handed guy, hit one a screamer down the line that was pretty close to where you were. Hey, you haven't gotten one yet.
No, we haven't gotten
a ball you could almost catch yet.
Not yet.
But yeah, we'll talk some baseball.
After the power washing Saturday night, my car, most of the pollen.
I got the power washing too, but by now it's already green again. We'll talk some baseball. A good weekend for Auburn baseball.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
How about that?
Dramatic win last night as Cade Ballou with a grand slam in the bottom of the eighth after he'd fallen behind 0-2 to the lefty closer for Vandy. Yep. Auburn takes 2 out of 3. We're going to have Derek Fabian joining us. Starting today, he will be our Monday Tiger Takes guest. So we'll have him on today as we come to you from Franklin Tire. I said spring, you know, that's when there's no question, folks, hit the road a little bit more. It's great to do so, and you want to make sure that your vehicle is in the best shape possible, and they take care of everything for you right here at Franklin Tire. So stop on in. They're open till 6 today while we're here. Normally it's 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday.
What's
7:30 to lunch.
What's the number, Bill?
821-4572.
Yeah. And usually spring football's going on this time of year too, sort of, you know, compounding.
We're a week away from the start of spring football.
A week away from the start.
Actually, I think they're actually doing stuff this week, but I think it's just walkthroughs,
right.
So it doesn't necessarily
right.
count.
I don't know that.
I mean,
I've
I guess it counts, but it doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't think there's going to.
Well,
be
they've
any.
Got extra time. They were right. only going to have 12 practices right. starting next week. So yeah, they're doing prep actually yes. spring prep this week. All right, we're just underway here on the Monday drive. Love for you to join in. Hey, if you can, if you're around, stop in and say hey to us here at Franklin. But you can give us a call on the drive hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And Bill, we touched on it a little bit earlier. Like, what coming out of – I mean, you can lump the three losses together, you know, Auburn's losses to A&M and Alabama to close out the regular season – and the loss in the semifinal to Tennessee that eliminated them on Saturday from the SEC tournament. Like, are there I know Bruce Pearl immediately pointed this out when he was asked about sort of the state of mind of his team. Even though you're talking about
– oh, when he was asked about panicking?
Well, yeah. When you're talking about the three teams that beat Auburn are three of the top 12 teams on the board, right?
Yeah.
A&M's a three. Bama and Tennessee are both twos in this NCAA tournament field. So the quality of your competition absolutely deserves
A&M's a four, right? Aren't they a four?
Oh, A&M's a four. You're right. Kentucky's a three. A&M's a four.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah. So I mean, four that you know, for three of the top 15 teams.
I think they were the 13 seed.
Yeah.
I think A&M was.
So
three of the top 13 teams in the nation.
Even acknowledging
after you clinched the SEC regular season outright.
Even and with the Alabama and Tennessee games going down to the wire, like both of those games going into, I mean, the Bama game going into overtime, the Tennessee game going into the final minute. Where you have a one possession game and teams shooting to take the lead or tie the game, even acknowledging all that, are there concerns about the way the team's playing
well,
going into the field?
I mean, yes, even with that, absolutely there are some concerns. I mean, Auburn still is not playing; they're not clicking the way they were earlier this season. They're not shooting the way they were earlier this season from the perimeter. They still just aren't getting much at all from Chaney Johnson. Auburn
needs him
to step up. That was the most shocking number to me from the Tennessee game, was the fact that Auburn was outscored 25-3 off the bench, and the 3 points were a three-pointer
by Chaney. Right.
Chaney lately has been better from distance than he has been around the basket. And he looks so good. Remember that stretch that he had of five or six games where he was nearly unstoppable inside 10 feet, and now he is really struggling around the basket.
He is. Rebounds have gone down considerably. It's just Auburn's got to get that bench going again. That's such important because they've only got two players on the bench that play most of the minute. So, and I mean, it's vital. Those
Tahad has struggled the last couple of ball games.
That post next to Janai is crucial too, because if defenses don't treat that player like a threat, then you're not going to have the spacing that you had earlier in the season right. for the shooters. They're not going. I mean, you saw it multiple times during the SEC tournament where either Cheney or Dillon would go out to set the screen, and they'd try to roll afterward, and no defender went with them. They stayed. Mm-hmm. They stayed on the shooter with the ball. They said, you know, that they took their chances, believing that they could play Auburn aggressively without paying as much attention to Dillon or Cheney. And I think that's something that Auburn needs to be able to. They got to be able to make teams pay for that.
Because
if they don't,
you remember earlier in the season where a lot of folks look at Jani's assists and they'll go, yeah, he's really good at making that kick pass to the corner or something. But remember all the passes he would make inside mm-hmm. to Dillon or Cheney yeah. for them to get dunks when teams would double. It's not working. It hasn't been working lately. Auburn's got to get back to that. They've got to get more points in the paint. It can't be just Jani. And Jani, it's more difficult for him when he's got two guys on him to try to go up and make that shot from inside as well. So yeah, there's some things that Auburn needs to get back to doing if possible. But yes, it's not panic time. But yes, there's a concern and some things that Auburn needs to clear up. I thought it was interesting, Bruce post Tennessee game talking about going back and doing some things, but he was asked about that yesterday, and I wasn't completely 100% on his response to that. Remember, I think it was Nathan that asked him about talking about getting back to doing some things yeah. with not going through Jani as much.
Yeah, he talked about wanting to get his transition offense better. That's
yes.
what he kind of
yeah, that's what he said
to.
He wanted.
Yeah.
And Auburn really hasn't. They've become down the stretch and in the SEC last few games and in the SEC tournament almost completely a half
yep,
court
they
offense.
Really have.
And they were one of the nation's best half court offenses this season.
Yes.
So I can understand why Auburn would want to lean on that some more. But if teams are trying some things that are paying off.
Yeah.
In the half court.
You know what, though? I mean, to be able to transition, you got to get defensive rebounds.
Yes.
You can't
and
have
live
the,
ball
you
turnovers.
You can't have the other team just tapping it up until they get a shot down. So that is something that down the stretch has really been a problem for Auburn, and that is preventing the opponent from getting as many offensive rebounds. So, yeah, there are some concerns. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on Auburn as they head into the postseason, on the tournament bracket. Anything on your mind sports-wise, we're just underway here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
ESPN 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews coming to you from Franklin Tire here across from CC's on East University. Love for you to join in. You can call us 334-321-1390, as I mentioned. Your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. We started off, obviously, talking about the NCAA tournament. And Auburn, the number one overall seed, they will take on the winner of Alabama State, St. Francis. That will be Thursday at 1:50. And we were love to get your thoughts on the field. Obviously, we talked a little bit about North Carolina making it in. Their athletics director, Bubba Cunningham, the chairman of the NCAA selection committee. And yesterday, of course, he recused himself. When he was asked about it, he passed the comments over to the vice chairman, who then brought up the KenPom and the net numbers and the fact that North Carolina had won 8 of their last 10. But As we were saying, we're just talking a few minutes ago. I mean, the fact that Louisville is the 8th seed in the South region, they're number 10 in the latest rankings. It's hard to justify North Carolina being in. So, we'd love your thoughts on the field. Who do you like? You got a dark horse? You can get your brackets in. We have a contest. Here at the Auburn Network. I can't get you all that info right now because it's here in the same location where I'm broadcasting at the moment from. We have had a little bit of problem with with one piece of equipment, but we've got backup. We were talking about depth a little while ago with basketball. We've got depth here on as far as our equipment that we're broadcasting from. We're coming to you from Franklin Tire here on the Monday Drive, and we'll just jump to our bottom of the hour break a little early so that we can have all three of us back on board when we return. So we'll go ahead and get to break early. Come on in and join us as we continue with Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
If you truly care about your feet and want to make them happy, check out Auburn's newest footwear experience, Love to Run. With the area's only pressure mapping system to analyze foot function, Love to Run identifies the perfect shoe for you. With brands like Ultra, Brooks, Hoka, they'll have your feet comfortably covered. So whether you're training for a marathon or just trekking through the marathon of life, Love to Run is ready to set the pace with you. 1957 East Samford Avenue in Auburn.
Achilles tendonitis is often as painful as it sounds. The Orthopedic Clinic is here to help get you back on your feet without pain or stiffness. Whether caused by overuse or degeneration, Achilles tendonitis can be treated usually without surgery. But the road to recovery isn't short, so get started right away at the Orthopedic Clinic. Call for an appointment, 334-749-8303, or visit theorthoclinic.com.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building Supply, East University in Auburn, across from Cary Creek Publix.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Spring is in the air, and it's the perfect time for a fresh new look. Head over to 12K Salon, downtown Auburn's go-to spot for hair and beauty this season. Whether you're ready for a bold new color, a quick trim, or just a seasonal refresh, our expert stylists are here to make you shine. Let the new season inspire your style at 12K Salon, where they get you looking right. Book your appointment today and spring into style. Visit 12ksalon.net for more info and to schedule your visit. 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. It's time to embrace your best self.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com, as we come to you from Franklin Tire on a beautiful, but there's a little bit of pollen, but it's a beautiful Monday afternoon. We talked a good bit about basketball. I wanted to get Brian's thoughts. You were there for all three games this weekend, right, against Vandy. I didn't make it to all three.
I was there for Friday and Sunday, and I came there at the end for Saturday because I was watching basketball.
Auburn winning Friday night, I thought an outstanding performance on the mound on Friday night as Sam Dutton was very – I mean, he was really in control.
Looked every bit of Friday night guy.
You're absolutely right.
Real quick. Yeah, just really looked good.
And then Vandy winning the game on Saturday, and it didn't look good yesterday. You're thinking,
things looked bleak yesterday.
They really did. Vandy, let's see.
They scored five, I think, in the four in the
Chatterton showed some promise early, right? And then the wheels came off.
The wheels did. Yeah, they did. Christian probably struggling as much as he had all year. And Auburn's down 6-3 going to the bottom of the eighth. But they load the bases with two outs. And Cade Ballou came to the plate. And Vandy went to their lefty closer, who they brought into the seventh inning on Saturday.
Big fella, right?
And tough – tough on lefties, and he came in and got Cade 0-2, but to Cade's credit, he was able to hang in, foul off a pitch, got it to, I guess it was just 1-2, and he crushed, absolutely crushed, yes, a grand slam to give Auburn the lead, and then And then Auburn goes to its new closer.
Yes. Struck out the side, Ryan Hetzler.
Yeah.
Did a terrific
Hetzler
job.
Just very impressive. Yep. And Auburn with a big season-opening series win against Vandy because they're on the road the next 2 weeks.
They are. Andreas Alvarez, the other freshman pitcher,
and
one of the other ones.
Yeah, he earns a freshman of the week honor.
Yep, and shut out Vandy for four innings, allowed just one hit. And that really kept Auburn in the game and gave them a chance to come back and win it.
And, you know, he's a guy, when we saw him in his first midweek start, was so dominant. Mm-hmm. Gave up a single and homer to the first two batters and then just dominated. That looked like the Andreas Alvarez we saw yesterday. And he's a guy that's definitely going to be a factor. We have already seen it in SEC play. And that's why you play, you know, some of these midweek games. You get some guys some opportunities. Yep. He was given that opportunity yesterday. I thought he really stepped up big.
I could see him being a starter here.
Yes, me too.
Before too long.
We were talking about the way that Auburn started conference play last season. Yep. I mean, they were behind the eight ball after a couple of series and winning this one. I mean, I thought it was vital to win one game against Vandy this weekend and to win the series. You have more momentum early than you ever felt like you did last season amid that nightmarish.
Yeah, 1-8 start last year. Now they've got, that conference win. They go on the road. Brian just reminding me, and I hadn't even thought about this, but as was the case.
I think Vandy and Kentucky were two of the teams they played last year in that start. Two of the three teams that they faced, and Kentucky, they had that, they had that promising. That promising couple of games where they'd get off the leads and then it gets deep in the bullpen, it doesn't go Auburn's way. I mean, to be able to come back and win these games, to hold on to win these games, I imagine, the last thing Butch wanted was a here we go again.
Oh, you're right. And it sort of felt like that yesterday, and it was great to be able to get that win. So
yes, it was.
So Auburn baseball, while Auburn basketball is the number one seed overall for the tournament, and they're in Lexington for the for Thursday, and you would think Saturday, if they win Thursday against the Alabama State St. Francis winner, they play again Saturday. Don't know the time on Saturday, but we do know that Auburn baseball is also in Lexington Friday through Sunday.
Yes, we do. And Kentucky's coming off losing 2 of 3 at Georgia. They scored 26 runs and still lost two of those games. So. Very potent offense. They'll be at home, and it should be a really good series. Auburn is now showing that they're ready to compete this year after a really, really tough season. And, if they can go up and get a win or maybe have a chance to win a series, that would be another step forward. Like you said, 1-8 last year, being swept twice and just taking 1 out of 3 of one of those series. So very important that Auburn continues to play well and rack up those wins. It's just important to get to 13-14. Wins to get in the SEC tournament and to play in postseason.
Yeah, and speaking of Georgia, that's where Auburn goes next week.
Yeah.
So Auburn's at Lexington and Athens each of the next two weekends. So that's why it's very important that you win your home series if possible.
Do they set the matchup times and TV networks Thursday night for the games Saturday. And so, depending on – I could see Auburn-Louisville having – a prime TV window, Auburn Creighton as well. Whoever wins that game, I could see having a prime window.
What are you considering the prime TV window? It's
interesting on Saturday.
It seems like Saturdays they like early.
Yeah.
As far as prime, they feel like more people are liable to be watching, early than Saturday night.
Right, and I wonder if that wisdom holds to the NCAA tournament as well, or if they try to use the primetime window.
Well, I'm thinking if you play at 1:50 on Thursday, what time does Louisville play?
They play before Auburn. That's the first game of the tournament.
It would make sense because the teams that are playing late then shouldn't have to play early. Yeah. You would think it would make sense that the teams that play early would play fairly early on Saturday.
Right, and I believe the other side of that bracket features features teams that are playing later. I mean, it's later in the day. Whoever else drew.
So it wouldn't be fair to teams.
Is it Tennessee that's also in Lexington?
Tennessee's one of the teams there in Lexington.
Yeah, so the Tennessee-Wofford and Utah State-UCLA side of the Lexington pod would probably make sense to play the later game on Saturday, and Auburn and whoever, if Auburn wins, and Auburn and whoever their opponent would make sense earlier. That could still be because you got 16 games over the course of Saturday and Sunday to decide the Sweet 16. It could still be, I could see that being an afternoon, evening sort of deal with those two teams. I could see it being, I could see him trying to make it maybe earlier, but we'll know all that Thursday. We know Auburn's on CBS. Thursday.
I sort of like it. That means Thursday we'll be coming on the air as the game is wrapping up.
Yep.
Should be. You know, with a 1:50 start, you usually figure 2.5 hours. That would put you at 4:15 for over. You hope that the game is not coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
You hope that if you're playing Alabama State or St. Francis, you're coming on looking ahead to Saturday and have the game fairly in hand.
We went on the air last year with like 15 minutes left in the Yale game or something.
We recapped the
final stretch of that game. We were not on the air when the game started.
No.
But I think we came on
I think you're right.
I think it was just after halftime and we took you through the second half as best we could
Hopefully all hands are still available. Yeah. Everybody's still available there in the ball game when we come on Thursday.
Maybe a little watch along party on Thursday, although I think we'll also have like you said, the game could be well in hand and could be pretty well into the game if it starts on time. Yeah. It's supposed to start before 2 o'clock local time.
Yeah.
Here in the Auburn area.
Well, the first when does the first one start?
Is the
first one 11?
Yes,
11:15.
11:15 is right.
Yep. Okay, so they've given you almost 2.5 hours. It still may not start.
They've given you
2 hours. Actually, 2 hours 35 minutes. It may take a little longer than that. It just depends on whether the officials decide to review as much as what we've seen during the regular season.
Yeah, it could depend on how close Creighton Louisville is. But that's the first game of the round of 64, and that is the game that plays immediately before Auburn on Thursday. I would think that we will know. I mean, we know. You know, we know most of the information there as far as who's going to play. I mean, obviously the play-in game opponent is something you find out Tuesday night.
Yeah. All right. We talked a little bit about Auburn's draw. Which SEC team do you think has the easiest path?
The same team that had the easiest path last year.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people.
Oh, interesting. You think it's Alabama?
I
think a lot of it also depends on Cooper Flagg's status.
There is, Duke is standing between them and the Final Four. I guess that would be. If you're pessimistic about Cooper Flagg's participation in the later rounds of this tournament, I would understand believing that Alabama got a pretty favorable draw. Although I think St. Mary's is pretty good for a 7 seed.
I think they are. I think Vandy's pretty good for a 10 seed. I really do.
Yeah, I think they're got an easy path to lead 8. I really do.
I think all four of the SEC teams.
BYU is the team that a lot of people seem to feel like has a shot in there to make a decent run.
See, and I like Scani. I think Wisconsin. You know, this isn't the Wisconsin teams of like
Golly,
Bo
I don't
Ryan.
Know. I mean, I was watching them against Michigan, and
I know it wasn't inspiring.
That was not a fun game. I didn't look like I was watching two high caliber teams.
No, I mean,
I said that earlier today to somebody. It's like when you watch SEC basketball, then you watch some of these other games. It's like, man, they just don't look the same.
Michigan can make you look bad though.
Yeah,
too.
They can. Wisconsin usually can.
And Wisconsin, although Wisconsin, this Wisconsin team shoots, and so I think
they didn't
in the final of the Big Ten. But they got their shooting. They got their beats.
That's what I just heard a lot of people going. Yeah, Wisconsin can score with Alabama, and it's like it sure didn't look like it to me. I've watched them a lot.
I think Missouri's got a great chance to make it to Sweet 16.
Ooh.
And then possibly face St. John's there.
You know, there is a possibility that it could be an all-SEC Elite Eight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that'd be crazy.
The bracket is set up where that could happen.
Yeah. I think
if that happened, half the country would just be physically, they'd be sick.
Yeah.
Just physically, if it was all-SEC Elite Eight.
I mean, what a feather in the cap for the SEC that would be. You'd need a couple of upsets.
On the other hand, the country would be elated if there are only like three SEC teams in the Sweet 16.
I don't think state's winning two games in this tournament.
I don't, that's
one where, I mean, that's
They feel like
I don't think Georgia's winning two games in this tournament.
No, I don't either.
Couple of teams that you would need to go.
Yeah, that's an 8 and a 9. That would need to. Who is it? Somebody sent me the thing that showed me the possibility.
And I'm biased, obviously.
What about Kentucky versus Tennessee?
Hold on a second. Kentucky, don't advance Kentucky too far, okay. My friend.
Troy, oh, yes, that's right.
I'm biased.
All right.
But I looked at the matchups for the 3 seeds and the 4 seeds, and I thought that Kentucky, we'll see what Lamont Butler can do. No Jackson Robinson, no Kirk Crissa. Troy's a scrappy team that rebounds a lot. I think you.
And I don't know how healthy Roberts is.
Kentucky's
a team that's not always focused.
You're right.
I think Troy.
But that was with Cal.
Yeah.
That was with Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
Mark Pope could have him playing better. We'll see. Although they were absolutely wiped out by Alabama in the SEC tournament. Although, you know, Alabama's a very good team. I think Troy has an opportunity here. I think that matchup strikes me as you're not gonna. There are some 3 seeds where I think Troy would have been in, would have been struggling to keep up. I think with Kentucky, we'll see if Troy can turn it into a street fight, turn it into a brawl, and maybe pull off what would be just a huge upset for Scott Cross and Barry and the gang.
I think the entire country is rooting for San Diego State because they don't feel like North Carolina deserved to be in it. So. Is that tomorrow too? Are all those games tomorrow? The first four?
Ooh, the first four games.
Yes,
I think they.
No. There's two Tuesday, two Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's San Diego State, North Carolina is Tuesday.
And I believe the Tuesday teams turn around and play Thursday, right? I think the winners on Tuesday have a quick turnaround, including St. Francis.
There's
and
some
Alabama
really
State.
Good first four games. I mean, Texas Xavier should be great. San Diego State and North Carolina could be.
I like Texas's draw. I think that's one where if they belong in the tournament, they belong in the play-in game because like they took a lot of losses this year even with the strong resume they've been able to build. But Texas has a couple players that can take games over. Like Texas is a dangerous 11 seed, and if they can beat Xavier, I think beating Illinois is absolutely on the table. And then you're talking about playing the winner of Kentucky Troy. And I think that if you know for an 11 seed for Texas, I don't think that's. I know people are talking about North Carolina's draw as well, because if North Carolina wins, they've got Ole Miss.
San Diego State's going to wipe the floor with them.
All right. Well, the winner of that game's got Ole Miss, yeah. Right? And that's supposed to be.
I mean, let me ask you this, because I had somebody say, well, what if North Carolina makes a run? I don't think anybody in the country is going to go, oh yeah, that's they were right being in there. Just because they make a run, even if they do, they still didn't deserve to be there.
No. I think you can separate the two things. I don't think you prove that you belong in, or you. Although the flip side of that would be if Brian's right, and North Carolina gets wiped out by San Diego State,
then everybody in the country will go, see,
yeah,
we told you.
So it is interesting how only one of these postseason outcomes matters.
Yeah, that's right.
The other one doesn't for this point. But no, I think that if Carolina can win, and I think everything people are saying about Carolina's tournament resume is true, but if they can win that game against San Diego State. I think they can beat Ole Miss.
I don't love
Ole Miss's.
I mean, especially. I mean, Ole Miss. I mean,
they need more.
Ole Miss has to shoot it.
Yeah,
they have to shoot it because they will get beaten on the boards. We've been talking about Auburn's problems on the boards. Ole Miss is a terrible matchup for anybody that's got a front line.
Yeah, and I just think, and I know Carolina's front line hasn't been.
I mean, it's a terrible matchup for Ole Miss.
Overwhelming, but I just think if Carolina wins, if Carolina beats San Diego State, I look at a Carolina Ole Miss matchup and I say that's one where I don't love what the SEC teams are.
That would stink for the SEC and be great for Carolina fans.
Yep. And you could see it happening.
Oh, I absolutely could, and that's what's great about the tournament. I mean, I love it. It's great that it's about here. We get those. First round, face it, the play-in games tomorrow. But, I mean, it gets started early Thursday. I'm glad to see Auburn playing fairly early on Thursday.
Show me Arkansas's draw. Show me that pod. You scroll down. Yeah. Right here. Arkansas is a 10 seed. They've got Kansas.
They got St. John's.
That's a tough four.
Arkansas-Kansas. Arkansas's a team that can do it though. I mean, they've just
got to shoot well. Yeah,
they do.
Arkansas,
they get Boogie back.
Yeah, yeah. I see. I think Arkansas is going to beat Kansas, and then the question is, if it's Arkansas,
Cal and Patino
is awesome, and if it's St. John's there, like Is St. John's any
you
better?
You don't think St. John's going to beat Omaha?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
But St. John's any better, although the Omaha story is awesome. They beat up trash cans after every win. They celebrate. It's great on social media. I don't know how much better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, St. John's had a better regular season than Arkansas. But it's like when people break down an Arkansas-Auburn game, right? And they say, like, what were these guys as recruits? Like, what would the NBA people tell you about the rosters of these two teams? I think NBA people would tell you it's very close for a 10 versus a 2 between Arkansas and St. John's, and Arkansas might have more talent. So, like, that's a pod where – we were saying it before the field came out. Arkansas and Texas are teams that if they get in because of the talent they had going into the season, they're dangerous for 10 seeds and 11 seeds. And sure enough, like, I look at Arkansas's pod, I look at Texas's pod, and I think they could be challenging for some of the teams that they're matched up against.
We'd love for you to join in. Again, we're coming to you from Franklin Tire here on the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And let's get to The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Ty. The Tiger is up first. Hey, Ty.
Hey, Ty.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man? Hey, one of the best weeks of the year, if you're into sports, one of the best days of the year, right? Reacting to your bracket.
And seeing it blow up first day.
And like we were saying, it's a lot more fun when you got a team that's actually dancing.
Well, y'all don't forget about some of the other brackets going on, man. We got the NCAA championships this week starting tomorrow for wrestling. And man, if y'all want to see some real tough dudes, man, that Penn State. I don't know if y'all follow it too often, but man, if you could imagine if Michael Jordan went back and coached North Carolina in basketball, that's what's going on at Penn State right now, and it's making the Saban dynasty look very, very, very small. This dude's won 9 out of the last 11 national champs as a team at Penn State. Probably going to win another one this year, and he's got a bunch of kids that's going to finish first. So that's going to be all over ESPN and ESPNU and stuff. Y'all check that out. Some really good athletes on the mat, man. But, man, of course, you know, it is bracket season. And, man, I mean, did we just not come out? I personally feel like we came out smelling like a rose. I love our bracket. I mean, it's obviously going to turn out to be the hardest one because I feel so confident about it. But, I mean, I like our 1-8 seeds all the way up to 9. It's comparing it to other brackets. Man, I think Florida got cooked. I mean, I just
well the fourth number one seed should have the toughest bracket, but I don't know.
Yeah, I look at Auburn, Louisville, Lexington, and possibly Texas A&M.
Their 1-8 is tough, man. I mean, every single one of those teams you could see making a run. Of course, Florida is playing.
I'd say there are two brackets where it feels like you have, and this could all blow up the first weekend, but there are two brackets where I feel like a lot of the dangerous double-digit seeds are concentrated. One of them is the East with the region with Duke as the number one. I think the other one might be Auburn's region where people like a lot of these double digits to make noise. Florida's region is where I think most people would tell you Texas Tech is the best three on the board, and there are a lot of folks who think Maryland is one of the better is one of the better fours on the board. Memphis being a 5 is a bit surprising. You know, Colorado State is favored in that game right now.
I saw that. That's what
I'm
saying.
Well, it's because, I mean, you got to have a 12, but yeah.
But Florida's playing as good as anybody in the country
right now. 5 over 12, so. I think the last 20 years, a 12 beat a 5.
Yeah, it's become more. It's become more prominent with 13s lately.
I think some of these fours are going down, Ty.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm gonna let you guys know.
When it High comes, Point. Are you about to tell us about High Point?
I think when they play, I think it's Thursday. But my hate for the Yale University will go away.
Oh boy.
And I will be rooting for the Yale. Whatever they are, I don't even know.
Bulldogs.
They are
the Bulldogs. Yeah,
you didn't hear it enough last year?
Yeah, really?
They better have some rebounders on that team.
I'm telling you, but, hey, they can pull it off. We've seen it happen.
There's some folks that like Akron.
That's one of my favorite pods of the bracket so far because I think San Diego, Michigan is going to be awesome. UC San Diego is a mm-hmm. super trendy 30 yep. win mid major that can beat some of these teams. I think if A&M wins, UC San Diego A&M would be a great game. If Michigan were to win these two games, then you could potentially have Trey Donaldson against his former team. In the Sweet 16.
Don't think that's happening, but we'll see.
Trey played his little butt off yesterday, man. Man, I'm proud of him.
Trey has made some huge plays for them all year and especially down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, he's not scoring crazy numbers, but, man, he's dishing the ball off, and he's a good facilitator. I'm glad he landed on his feet and doing good. I watched a little bit of KD yesterday too, man. KD still KD. He's wild as can be, man. But hey, he's out there
yes,
playing.
He is.
Dude. But man, I'm be honest with you, man. I've got my final four is Auburn, St. John, Duke, and Houston. And I've got Auburn playing Duke in a rematch and us winning, man. So that's my final four right there. I do got my tickets to Atlanta already. I need Auburn to come on and win these next two games and.
You got your tickets for San Antonio?
Say what?
You got your tickets for San Antonio?
No, next weekend in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
If we win, I
know that. I'm sorry I didn't hear the next weekend. I thought you meant you already had Final Four
tickets. Let me tell you guys, if there's ever going to be a home field advantage or home court advantage for Auburn in the NCAA tournament, we have the makings of it this year, brother. I don't know how many people, and I'm looking at all the other teams. I mean, all the other teams got to travel pretty far to get to Atlanta. We should pack that arena out.
Auburn's got to get there first.
And Auburn fans, crucially, too. I mean, Auburn fans have been anticipating Lexington and Atlanta for much of the season, which I think helps out with that possibility if Auburn can live up to their end of the deal.
Well, we bought ours Sunday night after we clinched the ACC regular season thinking, okay, well, we ain't going to lose that many. I had me nervous yesterday because we already bought
the Yeah.
We was nervous yesterday. It was like, dang, I didn't know we was going to lose three out of our last four, you know, going into the tournament. But, man, I think we got a good motivating coach. I think we're going to turn it up a notch, man. We've got to get a little bit more of that Yale taste that we had at the beginning of the season and Maui and all that. If we play like we did in Maui, man, we can beat anybody, including Florida, including Duke, anybody. If we don't, you know, that was the one thing I told you guys that I didn't feel good about. You know, we weren't diving for balls. We weren't, you know, we turned it up against Bama a little bit, but I didn't see it versus Tennessee a lot. And I mean, we got to turn up the intensity and get back to how we were in Maui with, you know, Chad Baker Mazar mm-hmm. going over to the scores table and you know, trying for every possession, man. We're a great team, but we got to want it. If we don't want it, shoot, somebody's going to take it. That's for dang sure. So, all right, guys, we'll see how it ends up, man. As always, War Damn Eagle.
I don't think there's – I can't imagine – A team is better acquainted with that, you know, in this field, right? Understanding the opportunity in front of them in the NCAA tournament.
No, you're right.
And, you know, and they get, unlike, you know, some of the guys from 2019 who wanted another shot in 2020, these guys get another chance in the NCAA tournament. And we'll see what they do with it.
All right, I know we're coming up on our top of the hour break. Reminder again, we've got
Master Graphics, the local screen printing and design experts.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this nice-looking St. Patrick's Day. And again, a welcome back to folks from spring break, which got over yesterday, I guess.
Including Brian Matthews. Welcome back from Cancun, Brian. You know where you?
Yeah.
You spent the last.
I was in Thailand.
At the White Lotus.
Yeah, the White Lotus.
You and Patrick. You watch that?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Is that? Are they ever going to do anything?
You and Patrick Schwarzenegger.
This is about the slowest. It's about the slowest setup for a season of anything.
Don't a lot of the.
I mean, I can't say what happens at moon party stays at
no,
the moon party.
I mean, look,
full moon party. Yeah,
not a White Lotus viewer. I'm told, aren't they all really slow builds?
This is the slowest.
Okay, interesting.
This is the slowest. They're halfway through it, and I'm waiting for that thing to happen.
Do you think the lack of
whatever it is?
Do you think the lack of Jennifer Coolidge is part of the problem? You don't have her running around creating trouble like you did.
You got some potential troublemakers, but it's go ahead. Let's go ahead and have some trouble happen.
The actress who plays Piper, Parker Posey's daughter on the show. Is from Montgomery. She's a Montgomery.
Wow. Did not know that.
Montgomery Academy grad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the last decade or so. I should know the young woman's
name. Nice trivia.
But yeah, she's a Montgomery native.
Yeah, she wants to stay there. All right. We could talk that, but you know there is a little bit of sports to be talking about.
Yeah, there's
here on
happening.
The day after the NCAA men's bracket comes out.
Sarah Catherine Hook is the actress from Montgomery who plays Piper on The White Lotus.
Nice.
I did not realize that. So.
Probably helps with the accent work. You think
they're supposedly from like Charlotte or something.
Yeah, they're doing. I mean, Piper Posey.
Because because mom and dad are Duke, North Carolina.
It's gone viral. Her different.
She goes.
But what's bad is dad's southern accent. Yeah. He loses that thing.
Comes and goes. Yeah.
Quite
He's a
frequently.
Great actor, but not
playing a southerner.
Not from Greensboro.
Don't think so. All right. Our accents are real. We're right here
at
Franklin Tire on this Monday edition of The Drive, looking back at the NCAA tournament bracket, talking about Auburn, and, of course, anybody you would like, if you want to take a look at the field, give us your dark horse. You can fill out your bracket. Go to ESPNAU.com, and you can fill out your bracket there. We've got that going on, opportunities for you to win some big prizes. We're here, though, on this Monday talking anything you'd like sports-wise. We're going to talk some baseball in a little while, and we can talk some more. We talked a little while ago about Auburn winning its first SEC series of the season, two out of three over the Vanderbilt Commodores. And we're going to be chatting with Auburn shortstop Derek Fabian at the bottom of the hour, and we'll do that each Monday at 5:30. That's our baseball Tiger Takes. So we're looking forward to that coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'd love to chat with you, though. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. On the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hour number two of the Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
Looking forward to Derek Fabian, right at the bottom of the hour. First baseball Tiger Takes of the year. Big shout out to our friends at 12K Salon for helping put Tiger Takes on the air.
And I mentioned you can get into our picking contest on ESPNAU.com. Make your picks for our Basketball Mayhem Contest, sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, University Ace Hardware, Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation, and the Turner Auto Group. Brackets close. You need to get your picks in before the first game starts Thursday. So make sure you've got your picks in before 11 o'clock
and that's,
on Thursday morning.
That's Louisville-Creighton, as we've talked about.
Right.
First game Thursday, first game of the round of 64 is the game that will determine the opponent for the winner of Auburn's game. You know, the round of 32, it's either going to be Louisville or Creighton in the round of 32 awaiting the winner of Auburn and whoever Auburn ends up playing on Thursday.
Yeah, so get your picks in before then for your chance to win some incredible prizes from our amazing sponsors, including a Yeti cooler, custom WeatherTech car mats, gift cards, and much more.
And ESPNAU.com, you can keep track of everything we got going on, including Basketball Mayhem. Also, the podcast center is there at ESPNAU.com. And if you want to come hang out Thursday,
yeah,
we're going to be – And I got some WNIT news, so I'm going to be here all week.
Yeah, how about that?
Troy got a bye into the second round of the they'll be one of the last 32 in the WNIT at least, and it looks like a game Sunday or Troy's opponents play, and the game to decide Troy's opponent is Saturday, so mm-hmm. I'm thinking Monday or Tuesday night would be my guess.
Oh, that
as far
would be
as
good.
Next week.
Yeah, it wouldn't be terrible if it was Monday to not have the other team have much time.
I'm thinking it's Monday or Tuesday night, yeah, would be Troy's first game in the WNIT. So I'm here all week. There was some concern about that, and I'm going to be there Thursday at the Plaza. So if you want to come hang out, Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown, mm-hmm. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. We'll be breaking down everything that's happened so far in the NCAA tournament, including, if you want to come hang out and watch the Auburn game, right?
All
right. The Plaza.
That will be happening. I mean, it's 1:50, so the game.
You want
and it may actually not even start till closer to 2.
Yeah, maybe I'll drop in a little, during
no
Jacob's
kidding.
Show and have a sandwich. What is that cheeseburger they got there? The Plaza.
That's mashed.
Oh,
yeah,
man, that thing.
Smashed,
oh
yes.
Man, that's it. Yeah. They got some good stuff at the
Plaza.
Yeah,
so come join us.
Yeah, we'll be there Thursday.
All right.
And Sensa Green setting that up too. So shout out to our friends at Sensa Green, and we'll have prizes, a lot of cool stuff. Plaza this Thursday, presented by Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation.
All right, we might as well talk something that we usually would be talking about this time of year, and a little football news coming out as far as the schedule.
Yes.
You know, we knew that Auburn was going to start its spring practice on the field next week. We've now learned that Pro Day will be Monday for the players who are out of eligibility, and then Tuesday, first practice, and we'll have an opportunity with Hugh Freeze on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, we'll get assistant coaches Monday after Pro Day. Friday we'll get some players, so it'll be a busy week. Talking Auburn spring practice, although I think most people still be focused on the NCAA tournament. You hope so.
Oh, my
Auburn,
goodness.
Right?
you absolutely, yeah, surely hope so.
But the good thing with next week is if Auburn does win, they will be playing Atlanta, and that's a go there and get back.
Absolutely.
You need to do it that way.
And that's what Ty the Tiger was talking about. Yeah. I mean, great opportunity to have a huge home crowd.
Yes.
If Auburn can get to the second weekend.
How is Coach Freeze doing? I mean, I know
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk to him on Tuesday, so
yeah,
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the expectation was that he'd be able to carry out all his normal duties,
yeah,
for spring. That's probably and I don't know. I wonder, Brian. I mean, I haven't really heard much talk about this, but I wonder if that sort of played into Auburn's late start of spring practice as well. I mean, it could have.
It could have, yeah. I'm not aware of that, but now that you mention it, that's certainly a possibility.
It's probably a good thing,
yeah,
that it was a little later starting,
yep,
with them finding the prostate cancer early, and hopefully, being able to just go on as if, with everything that was planned. So, yeah, I'm sure that's something he will talk about when he meets with us on Tuesday.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
As far as spring, I mean, Auburn's got a ton of new faces. I believe 35 new guys that have enrolled in January from high school and the transfer portal. So, I mean, this will be a really interesting spring. It will probably, and it may not be just at Auburn, but I do know, I mean, there's no question, Brian, this will be the most scholarship players I can ever recall that Auburn has probably ever had, especially in the day of the 85 scholarships. I guess back when you had 100 and whatever something scholarships, maybe you had close to 85 going through spring practice, but it's unheard of because you would have, you know, at least 15 seniors or so that would be that wouldn't be going through spring practice. And I remember some springs where Auburn's gone through with maybe 50 scholarship guys.
That was very normal not that long ago. And now you're talking about 70, 75 guys on scholarship.
Yeah, I mean, spring. I think all but two of the signees are here. And I think I've got Auburn down with like 82, 83 scholarships. So they're going to be 80 scholarship guys that will be going through spring.
That's incredible if you think about it, really. I mean, that's basically your team for next year, other than, you know, a transfer quarterback and, you know, some other guys that need to come in. But, that's just unbelievable, the number, and how much that's changed just over the last 5 years.
Acknowledging that every position is under evaluation, are there specific positions where you feel like they aren't satisfied with the number right now, and they feel like the number, you know, of players that needs to change before
defensive tackle.
The front seven. Yep. Right. They probably want to add a body or two. Even moving guys around, right?
And
even
playing linebacker.
Is he an edge? Is he an outside linebacker game? Still, they probably want another experienced inside.
Well, I think absolutely you want another experienced guy inside. You probably like an experienced linebacker, although it doesn't have to be a starter. I think they're pretty happy. I think DJ Durkin feels pretty good about Robert Woodyard, who has been around for quite a while, and then DeMarcus Riddick.
Yes, who could have an incredible sophomore season as long as he stays healthy.
But,
yes.
But there's only about six scholarship linebackers. So, I mean,
I think
they
love
need another one.
Three freshmen they brought in, and if those three guys play really well this spring, maybe they won't make a move.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And then, I mean, the other thing to watch will be, you know, we're less than a month away from the spring transfer portal.
That's right.
And Auburn will have – look, my prediction is I thought Auburn would have more players going to the portal back in December.
Yeah. I mean, I just think you should assume that somebody's going to leave that you're not counting on. Or
well, I mean, everybody's not going to feel like they're getting as much playing time as they want. When you've got 80 guys going through practice, spring practice, the odds are that 10% of them are going to go, hey, I need more playing time, or I need more NIL, or both.
And, you know, I think Auburn's got 16, 17 offensive linemen or something like that. That's not going to hold up. So,
and playing time seems to be in some of these positions. Like playing time is the factor where it's like, I mean, maybe you can try to keep a guy healthy if he's not in line for a lot of playing time. You can try to keep a guy healthy with resources, but it seems to me like,
hey, receiver is a spot where, I mean, it's just are you going to be able to play 8, 9 receivers? No.
Get unhappy there.
Yeah, so I think somebody coming out of spring's going, I'm not quite as high on the depth chart as I thought I'd be.
And I know that it's natural to want to see the progression of Cam and Malcolm because you saw them on the field last year.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to see where Perry and Bryce fit in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's to me,
those are the guys.
Yeah, like the other two of the freeze four, I want to see, like, sort of what, you know, because they – now, did Perry take a red shirt last year? Did he play too much for Richard?
He played in most of the games.
Bryce took a red shirt.
Yes.
But both of them, and Perry played, but wasn't a huge focal point of the offense by any stretch, even though weren't there like times when that
– were a couple of times where they were trying to get the ball.
They said that was going to change. So I want to see where those two specifically sort of fit in.
Because you've got some newcomers that
yeah, it's
going to
be tough for Bryce just because, you know, you got Malcolm at that position in the slot. You got Eric Singleton coming in who can play outside but can also play slot. So, you know, he may have to bide his time a little bit. You know, we'll see. But I do think it'll be a big spring for Perry. You know, Singleton could play outside, or Perry could have an incredible, spring and secure a spot for himself out there. So, that'll be real big for him. And I think Cam Coleman still has some steps he can take in his development and can become much more consistent and better receiver for Auburn, too.
That's Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. While we've got a little bit of time, Brian, I have not had a chance to check out the Monday Musings.
Yeah.
That's something that is a must at the first of every week.
And yeah, we're going back pretty far.
Yeah.
We're going back pretty far this year. I talked about what Jay Williams, that's what I wrote about, what him saying that no team has ever won the tournament that's lost three of the last four games, and pointed out some historical facts.
Yeah,
that
teams that are competing for a national title haven't played the quality of competition
exactly.
Auburn has in their last four games.
So. Going back 67 years.
Okay. 67 years.
And it's the release.
All right, let me. So we're talking 1958.
We're almost in the 60s. Okay.
1958.
It's the release of the first ever Greatest Hits album.
Are you serious? Nobody had ever done a Greatest Hits album until 58.
And the songs on this album.
It's probably somebody from the 40s then and the 50s.
The songs on this album were not hits when they first came out, which is a little twist. But they became
what?
Like.
What
do
you mean? Like somebody released a greatest hits that weren't hits?
Yes, yes. But they became much more popular songs once they were put on this greatest hits album.
In the 50s, Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
Chubby Checker?
The first guess.
Is it? Whoa,
right?
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh,
well done.
I had no idea.
How about that?
So why weren't they hits?
I don't know.
Well, he'd only been in the business 2 years. He didn't have.
He
didn't really have.
He did
a
greatest hits after two years, and he hadn't hit
of
hits.
Songs that hadn't been hits. It was like, it's like a joke.
It was one of those deals.
Man, why do I win for that?
It's like something Weird Al would have done.
Yeah, well,
like,
you're right.
The record companies. We need an album right now. They didn't have any new songs, so they just.
I just pulled out of thin air.
Yep.
I just pulled somebody who became very big in the late 50s.
Yep.
That's all I could think of. Wow.
The thing,
Elvis would have been a fine choice, too.
Well, would have. Elvis had had a hit or two.
Elvis's Golden Records came out 4 days later.
Wow.
And that was the first rock and roll greatest hits.
I did not. That's really a great piece of trivia. Who released the first greatest hits album?
That is good.
Yeah, I'd never heard that before.
And, you know, Johnny Mathis had one of the best Christmas albums of all time, if you've ever listened to that, or is that if that's on your Christmas
playlist. Elvis had a pretty
playlist.
Good Christmas
Yes,
album.
Elvis, of course, did
Got
too.
Got that
yes.
one. Wow, that's cool. So, and what was your – I guess you're looking at Auburn in the tournament?
Yeah, I just I think people were a little bit down on Auburn after, you know, the last 2 weeks, but I just point out that Auburn is in a great position as the number one overall seed. They have played almost every number one, number two, or three seed, or more than half in the tournament. So they're not going to be surprised or taken.
What was the number that somebody pointed out yesterday on the Zoom? 24 of 33 games against teams that are in the tournament.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That is it. That is and the record and you know Auburn's 28-5. I mean, it's like not like, okay, they played 24 of 33 games against the NCAA tournament and they're coming in 20 and 14 or something, you know.
But I think the best thing you can do to this team is tell them that no team has ever lost 3 out of 4 going to the tournament.
Yeah.
That's just something.
They
that
can
just,
make history again. That's what
right.
Bruce is all about.
Yep. So here we go.
All right. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we're going to be talking with Derek Fabian, Auburn's shortstop with Tiger Take. So until then, phone lines are open. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
The Drive.
The Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan.
The Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
He's pre- and post-game host of the Braves. Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon as we come to you from Franklin Tire. Bill, Dan, and Brian. And let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good to hear you on the radio at a place. I always say this, Bill, and I've said it before. They took care of my oldest daughter when she had automobile problems when she was going to school at Auburn. Took care of my youngest daughter when she had automobile problems when she lived in Auburn. It's a place you can let your kids go, and they're going to take care of it. It's a great business, and there's a reason they've been around for a long time.
That's exactly yes. right. That's how they've been able to do this for over a half century now.
Yeah, it's amazing. So a couple things real quick. This weekend was the 34th annual Cajun Classic Wheelchair Tennis Tournament, which is a qualifier for the four majors, the U.S. Open, the Australian, Wimbledon, and the French Open. Mm-hmm. And they also have a non-professional division that's often attended by a lot of collegiate teams, Michigan, Alabama. There was one other, and then there was Auburn. And Auburn brought down four athletes to participate down here in Baton Rouge this weekend. And they had a great showing. They all placed. So it was a blast to see them. And I just want to tell everybody up there, if you don't take the time to go watch athletes that are having to play with a different set of tools than the athletes that we love to go watch, you're missing out on something. And they're great kids. I just can't speak highly enough about them. They represent our university great, and their competitors. Didn't have anybody come out number one, but had a couple second and a couple third places. So it was quite great to watch. So if you ever get the opportunity, Brian, to write an article about them, it'd be a great article to put up. So
okay.
Not that I'm lobbying for that, but Brian, write an article about them and tell people about them, please. It is great. So
no, we don't talk. Go ahead, Tex.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we don't talk about the adapted athletics programs enough, but Auburn has invested heavily, and there are tremendous stories. AuburnAdapted.com is how you can follow everything they've got going on there
right.
with wheelchair basketball, with tennis, and they've got a it's a and there are links to support as well, and that's a worthy a worthy way to donate your money.
And I would encourage you, if you have a desire to do that, to donate and earmark it for whichever one you have the. If you don't follow any of them, you can just donate directly to the adaptive sports part. But you can also pick what type. You can pick basketball and tennis if you chose. So, by the way, just real quick, Auburn doesn't have one, but there is wheelchair rugby. And if you just go to YouTube,
that's murder ball, isn't YouTube. It? That's murder. Yeah, I remember. I saw the documentary. That's murder. Murder ball is wheelchair rugby, I believe. In the adapted athletics world.
So they run into each other and everybody's laughing and they pick each other up. It's really cool to watch. And they're very talented. They can do things in a wheelchair that are quite remarkable. So real quick, and I know we're getting close to, I want to hear Derek on the radio. By the way, when we saw him last year in Jacksonville, I thought he'd be the breakout player of the year. And it seems like this may be his breakout year because he's playing incredible defense and swinging a hot, hot bat. So, speaking of yesterday's baseball, I get a text from somebody, and I'm not going to say who, that said, what's wrong with Ballou? And then about 2 minutes later, he hits the grand slam. So it's just remarkable to me the way we look at athletes today. I think he was the only guy in the lineup hitting under 300 at the start of the game. And that swing, by the way, does that remind you of a Stephen Williams swing?
Yes. Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it did. The home run yesterday just reminded me, as I watched it multiple times, that swing just reminds me a bit of Stephen Williams. So, anyway, great kid, better person. If you're doubting him, don't. I would not. Quite the athlete. So what I've really surprised me is we struggled a little bit with mid and late relief pitching on Saturday, but we pitched really good on Friday and Sunday. And I think we may have found a few things. So what do you think about that, Bill?
I missed part of it. What was the last?
What do you think once we get out of the starting rotation into the bullpen, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yes.
I think Brian's right a while ago. I think Andres
Alvarez
has a chance to move into the rotation while Chris tries to find himself a little bit there. I mean, they've got some arms. There's no question about that. And I like what we've seen out of Hetzler there at the end.
Yes, he's definitely taken over that closer role for sure.
Yes. Well, I think that if we can pitch as well as we really did on better on Friday and Sunday,
than on Saturday. But in, if you win two out of three in every series, you're going to be you're probably hosting a regional. So it's great. And Vanderbilt, yeah, but somebody told me, oh yeah, but it was Vanderbilt, and it's somebody who doesn't follow college baseball, so they had no clue what they were talking about. So what? It was a great game. Correct. And having been up there and been to their ballpark and watch them practice, you would understand why. When you watch them practice, they're very, very into the fundamentals. So, all right, I know it's coming up on Derek time, so I'll let y'all run. I appreciate the time. Again, if you ever get the opportunity, go see Baton Rouge wheelchair. I mean, sorry, that's wrong. You'd have to come here. Go see Auburn's wheelchair tennis team play. Great athletes, better people. Thanks.
Great stuff, Tex. Thanks for the call. All right, we do need to get to our bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Auburn shortstop Derek Fabian with Baseball Tiger Takes here on The Drive.
6-7.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, as we come to you from Franklin Tire and Auto. And, yes, we will continue talking about the NCAA tournament, the bracket and everything, but we talked a good bit about baseball as well. And we are thrilled to begin our Baseball Tiger Takes this afternoon as we talk to Auburn shortstop Derek Fabian. Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Visit them today at 217 North College Street or book online at 12ksalon.net. And as I said, thrilled to be joined by Auburn shortstop Derek Fabian, fresh off the Tigers taking 2 of 3 from the Vanderbilt Commodores yesterday. Derek joining us now here on the Drive Hotline. Derek, man, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all having me on. I'm doing awesome on this Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it is it's a gorgeous day. Spring break's over. Classes are back in session. But, hey, I mean, winning your first SEC series, a big win, huge walk-off bomb by Cade yesterday afternoon to give you guys that series win.
Yes, sir. I mean, I think it's big in a couple ways. Obviously, you know, you get the freshman's feet wet being an SEC play for the first time, and then it gives our team a whole bunch of confidence knowing that we can compete with anybody in the league. So I think moving forward, this will be a big series win for us and give us a lot of confidence going down the road.
Yeah, and big winning the, you know, winning the series without Ike this weekend. I mean, you guys really, really been impressed with the depth that you have in the lineup from top to bottom.
Yes, sir. I mean, obviously, we're missing Ike's bat right now and his leadership behind the plate. But I think Fraley stepped up in a big way, you know, with the stick and controlling the game behind the plate. And then we got, obviously, two other freshmen in the lineup, Chris Rimbert and Bud Terrell. They both stepped up in a big way. And, you know, those are all great guys. You love to see them perform each and every day. So, just really excited with our freshman's performance. And then, you know, we got a lot of guys that can play still that, you know, are on the bench and can make an impact. So we're very, very depthy, if that's the word.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll allow it. Shakespeare made up words all the time. There's no rule. Yep. There's no rule against it. You know, with Bub, like, what are the hardest parts of making the jump from high school baseball to contributing for an SEC program, and where has he impressed you with his ability to be ready to go this early in his career?
Yeah, I think the biggest jump, and I mean, a lot of guys will probably say this, but the speed of the game always speeds up when you jump a level. So at the high school game, you know, you're the best player on your team, you're the best player in your county, your state, or whatever it is. But when you get to college baseball, especially in the SEC, you got a team full of guys that were in your same spot in high school. So you got to understand the way to go about the game and kind of make it slow down. That's what we talk about all the time, is slowing the game down so you can perform at your highest level compared to letting the game speed you up. And then that's when the mistakes and errors and punch outs and all those things occur, when you're thinking about the next play instead of being in the moment you're in.
And Derek can attest to that. I mean, you were a you were a player of the year in the state of Florida, and it is a big step. And that, I think, is it's quite quite remarkable when you look at the numbers. You mentioned Chase. Dan was just talking about Bob, and Chris getting an opportunity when Eric was you know, banged up a little bit. I mean, the young guys that have come in and been able to, you know, make an impact early on, when you've got veterans like you and Coop, and we mentioned Ike, and then you know, Cade's just a sophomore, but you know, really showed his ability last year. It's a very good combination on this depthy team. I mean, really, of youngsters and experience.
Yes, sir, and that's what we talked about early in the year. You know, this is, I'm talking about August and September. Me and Coop, Ike, Parker, Ben Shore. We talked about being, you know, a leader to lead these younger guys, because we knew we were going to have a mix, whichever way it kind of shook out. We kind of wanted it to seem like we were their big brothers and we were pulling them along and wanted them to succeed just as much as they wanted themselves to succeed. So we just used that, you know, fire we had inside of us coming from last season, and then kind of instilled the confidence into them early so that they could perform for us. And I forgot to mention earlier, our pitching staff with the freshmen, those guys are doing their thing as well. You know, Christian Chatterton, Dre Alvarez, obviously last week, and Jackson Sanders, those guys have been key parts of our bullpen.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's talk a little bit more about your season thus far. I mean, your second year here, and is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I was
going
to say, I didn't think it was more than that.
I mean, you could ask him.
Well, no, it felt like last year was your first year. It's like, I should know, but no, I mean, really stepping up and getting the opportunity. Last year, I mean, you played a lot of third, played some second, played a little short. Now getting to you know, firmly entrenched there at shortstop, you've got to like, you know, being back there at that position that you just grew up playing.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's obviously been a blast to play shortstop every day, especially for a prestigious program like Auburn. My first 3 years, I was kind of the utility man, kind of fit in wherever I needed to fit in, which if that helped the team, man, I was all for it. And I'm still that way. I'm, you know, my role has just been shortstop this year, but I feel like controlling the infield from shortstop has been a big part of my game, because I'm not necessarily worried about how I do performance-wise as much as I am kind of putting guys in the right place and being the leader that I need to be. You know, I help kind of control the pitching staff from a running game standpoint, or, you know, just going to mound visits and kind of giving them some confidence when things aren't going too well. But obviously I enjoy hanging out with all my guys in the infield. Can't pass that up.
And then we were talking just about the pop that this lineup has top to bottom. I mean, just about anybody in the lineup has the ability to go yard. And you've got, well, they say four, even though you've hit five this year. I mean, that's going to be something everybody's going to talk about all year long with you. And when we're talking about the team, is like, how can they look at how could anybody look at that and then decide that was a ground rule double?
Yeah, it was definitely a whirlwind of emotion, you know, but trying to keep the main thing, which is, you know, sticking to approach each and every at-bat, kind of, you know, once that situation happened, yeah, it sucks, but moving on to the next at-bat, sticking to the approach.
First pitch.
First pitch, ended up getting one out, which was cool for sure, but, you know, things don't always go your way, so you just got to roll with the punches.
No, I like that. You can't dwell. Just press on. It's the right attitude. What do you think of the ballpark and some of the some of the changes since the end of last season?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. You know, coming in and we had all of our fall scrimmage games. We had to do it with a chain link fence right around home plate, because we had the Hall of Fame club
going
in.
Yeah, the noise, man.
Yeah,
up until the day before the
crazy
game,
yeah,
right.
It's good. Yeah, and then, it's great to be able to hit bombs up into the crowd up there in left field too. Look up and see as many folks as there are that are constantly up there, you know, on the monster.
Oh yeah, man, that monster is sick. It gives us a lot of more fans chirping other players, which is always cool. You know, and then obviously just the aesthetics of it, looking around the field and seeing fans almost 360 around you is a great feeling.
You know, back to the pop up and down the lineup. Have you ever played on a team that is that's got so many guys that that have the threat of taking a pitcher deep?
Man, I don't know if I have. I've been a part of some really good teams, but you know,
oh yeah,
we as an offense, man, we're so multifaceted that we can hurt you in many different ways, and that's what we kind of pride ourselves in. You know, we got guys that can run. We got guys that can lay the ball down on the ground for bunts. We got guys that can lead the yard, like you said. I just think 1 through 9, we have guys that can really do it all. I mean, we got Cooper McMurray laying down a bunt base hit this year.
Right.
So. It's awesome.
Well, Coop's leaner. He's using that speed a little bit more than he has.
That's right.
In the past. Hey, you mentioned pitchers, and Sam got you off to a great start on Friday night, pitching like a Friday night ace. I know Butch has talked about, and one of the things he really harped on is, you know, pounding the strike zone, that the percentage of strikes. That makes it a whole lot easier for you when you're out there in the field as well, when you know your guy's going to be in the zone. He's keeping you more on your toes because you're forcing them to swing.
Yeah, man, he's done really well, man. He's a veteran, like, you know, we also got some young guys that kind of keep us in the zone. Sammy Dutton is one of the greatest human beings of all time. He's the man to be around. But, you know, getting off to a good start in SEC play is all about winning that first game. So with him on the mound, I'm very confident. And then, you know, there's no other guy I'd rather have on the mound on Friday night.
And how about Hetzler now? I mean, the way he's been coming on there at the end of the ball games, it's great to have somebody that can come in and slam the door.
Yeah, the best part about Hetzler is, man, he's got, you know, that calm heartbeat, which every closer kind of needs to have. I mean, you got your guys that are amped up all the time, but Hetzler has that calm heartbeat that allows him to stay within himself and not get those big misses. And, you know, he's pounding the zone, doing what he does. So we're excited to have Hetzler in that role for sure.
Got Alabama State coming up tomorrow night before you head to Lexington this weekend. Man, it seems like baseball and basketball could have a lot of things in common this week. You know, Auburn
right.
basketball could play Alabama State if they win tomorrow night. And then, of course, Auburn basketball going to be in Lexington. So you guys are liable to have a pretty good crowd, pretty good following there for the series this weekend against the Wildcats.
Yes, sir. And the Auburn family is awesome, and you know, they stick with us when we're going bad, and they're riding with us when we're going hot. So I just think having that type of fan base is always great to have. It feels like it's not 9 versus 9. It's 5,000 versus 9. So the Auburn family obviously shows out, and we are extremely grateful for those people.
So, Kentucky this weekend, great going in. I would say good bit of momentum after that impressive come from behind win yesterday as you get ready to head up to Lexington.
Yeah, we're excited. Obviously, we're still going to focus on Alabama State until Wednesday. You know, we can't look over games.
Sure.
Each of these games count the same, but you know, we're obviously excited. SEC play brings a different kind of energy to each and every game. So, you know, we're ready to go each and every day.
Derek, looking forward to being able to talk with you each Monday here on The Drive. Really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yes, sir. War Eagle.
Hey, you want to let everybody know how they can follow you on social media?
Yes, sir. So go on Instagram. That's all I got is Derek_Fabian. That's it.
That's simple enough. Appreciate it, man. Good luck again this week.
Yes, sir. War Eagle.
Derek Fabian joining us, Auburn shortstop, joining us with Tiger Takes. Brought to you by 12K Salon.
Want to say thanks to Derek Fabian for joining us. We'll have him every week here on The Drive during baseball season. Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Give him a call, 334-209-2900, to book your next appointment.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Don't buy the lot.